Because dating isn't always great. I'm Amy Helt, and this is the Dating Disasters Podcast. Welcome back, everybody, to season two of the Dating Disasters Podcast. I'm thrilled to have you back. If you are a first-time listener, welcome to what is pretty much an archive of something we can all relate to, and that is weird shit happening on dates. Disasters. Some are legitimate disasters. Some are more of a disastrous lesson. But weird shit happening on dates. Maybe I need to change the name of the podcast to that. I don't know. Welcome back. Season two. I'm really excited to talk to you today about this particular topic. So I had the idea for this topic when I was actually home a few weeks ago. I have not been on an airplane since December of 2019. I have family that lives on the East Coast, so I'm very used to flying home to see them a few times a year, especially at the holidays. And with the pandemic, I obviously wasn't flying. And a couple weeks ago, I finally decided that I would venture out and hop on a flight. Loved it, had an amazing time. It was not as weird as I thought it would be flying. So props to the airline team and fellow passengers who, you know, everybody was super cooperative, no problems at all. Really great. But I can't help but just think about when I was sitting on that flight, listening to them go over the safety instructions. Now, when you fly, and I used to fly constantly for work. But when you are a regular flyer, or even if you just do it once a year, you know, it's almost like those safety instructions just kind of repeat in your head. I think sometimes we don't even really stop to listen to them anymore because it's the same thing over and over. But it's important because if something happens, we all need to know what to do. I always think about the part where they talk about the emergency exits. And what do they tell you? They tell you where the exits are. They remind you that it is important that you know where the exits are. And they show you that there is going to be lighting that is going to direct you to those exits, but also to pay attention because those exits may in fact be behind you. So going back to the point of knowing where the nearest emergency exit is. And if that does not remind me of dating and relationships, I really don't know what else does. I have been saying for years, decades probably, not to age myself, but probably decades, it is so important to know where the emergency exits are and to have a legitimate exit plan. As a matter of fact, somebody just mentioned that to me maybe 3 months ago. We were talking about something. And they made the comment about, well, you know, you always have an exit strategy. And I was like, yeah, don't you? I mean, it's smart. You always need an exit strategy and you always need to know where the emergency exits are, literally and figuratively. I've learned that lesson in life the hard way. There are easy ways to learn it. There are difficult ways. I always have taken the more difficult path, it seems. But I've learned the lesson, and it now affects how I handle things in my current life. But there is a great example of this, and it was maybe the first time where I really saw the importance of it. I kind of always knew, but to actually see it in action was amazing to me. I used to live in San Francisco. So I was out one afternoon, one of my coworkers and I decided to go out just to have a bite to eat, have a cocktail, just kind of hang out. We weren't going out looking for anyone in particular. We were both single. So we weren't kind of going out looking for anything. We were just really going out, two girlfriends, just going to hang out, have a drink, low key, picking a quiet place, stuff like that. So we were actually in the Mission neighborhood, and if you're familiar with San Francisco, you'll know where that is. If not, next time you're there, please go check it out. I mean, the whole city is amazing, but that's a really cool part of town. And we just came upon this bar that was not crowded, that seemed cool. So we went in and sat down at the bar and we're looking at the menu and really just relaxing, talking to the bartender, thinking about what we want to eat, catching up to talk about work and stuff, just normal everyday stuff. Relaxed, casual, we're not dressed up. You know, we've got a little bit of makeup on, but not the kind of makeup where if you run into like your dream person, you know, maybe you would have a little more oomph. It was just regular everyday stuff, nothing fancy. Because like I said, we're just hanging out. So we're sitting at the bar, and this is not a very big place, as you'll know most bars in San Francisco are not. And it's not crowded at all. We were there at a weird time. It was like Sunday afternoon, but there weren't really any sporting events going on, so we didn't have the brunch crowd. And then we also didn't have the Sunday night cocktails crowd. So we were just kind of in between, which was perfect for us. We could really sit, we could talk, we could hang out, and really just kind of relax and enjoy ourselves. We're sitting at the bar, looking through the menu. We order our drinks. We're talking to the bartender. We order our lunch. Nothing really seems unusual. You know, we're talking about dating and stuff because both my friend and I were single. And we were both going out on weekends, you know, looking for available guys, looking for someone to date, not using online dating really at that time at all. And just kind of talking about that stuff and talking about some past relationships and how they worked out, why they didn't, things like that. Very common girl stuff. And so, you know, we get our food and we're eating and we're chatting and we're having our drinks and we finish our lunch. And we're getting another drink. And my friend, who is sitting on my right-hand side, the exit door, like the main door we came in, is on my left. She's sitting on my right. And behind us, there are tables and small tables, like four tops. You know, we're not talking like an eight-person table. And there's only one row of them because, like I said, it's a pretty small place. And there's a small table by the door toward the front, kind of in the corner, but it's behind us. So logically, we're not looking at it because we're both looking ahead. We're sitting at the bar and we're talking to each other. We didn't really have occasion to turn around and look behind us or on either side of us, really. And the place was not very busy at all. As a matter of fact, when we went in, we were the only two that were in there. So we didn't even realize that there were other people, to be honest. You know, we were just eating, kind of having fun. And she turned to me to say something and happened to glance at the table that was behind us and to the left a little in the corner. And she turned back around really quickly and she was like, oh my God. And I thought, oh, wait, what happened? Because, you know, we're just talking and I really didn't even see her glance over at the other table. And she's starting to panic now, low-key panic, but still panic. And she says in a really, you know, a quiet voice, don't look, which of course, you know, that means I'm going to turn around. But this time I didn't. This time I actually listened to what she said. And she said, you know, that at that table in the front, that is my ex-boyfriend. I mean, now we all have exes that we don't want to run into. It doesn't matter why we don't want to run into them, but we all have those relationships that we are not in anymore. And seeing that person is challenging for us, whether it's because we're angry or we don't want the hassle or we're upset, whatever it is, it doesn't matter the emotion that's tied to the reason, but everyone has a relationship like that. That's totally normal. Generally, people are exes for a reason. Sometimes it's not a great reason, but there is a reason there. So she's explaining to me that's her ex-boyfriend. It was one of those serious relationships that ended, and the end was pretty difficult for her. It wasn't an easy ending. She wasn't particularly happy about it. It was kind of still an open wound. And when you think about your ex and those exes that you don't want to see because it brings up that sadness or that feeling of what could have been, and now you're not going to know. When you have that feeling come up, I mean, it's an open wound. You know, it over time, it gets easier. It doesn't always completely go away, though. And in her case, it was still fresh enough, you know, within maybe a few months. So it's still pretty fresh that it was eliciting all these kind of emotions in her. So she's explaining to me, you know, who this is, how the breakup was difficult. And now it turns out he's sitting, you know, in this very small place where we are the only two other people with another woman. So now, if you have that ex that still has a little piece of your heart, which is totally normal and fine, and you see them with another person, even if you're the one who ended the relationship, it can be really hard. It's bad enough running into them when you're unprepared, but running into them on a date where they're having a great time with someone else who's in the role that you used to be in, that can be really devastating sometimes. It is certainly a situation that most of the time somebody does not want to confront, deal with, interact with. They just want to get the hell out of there, right? We've all been there. My friend in that moment was there, and she's explaining this to me. And I said, okay, well, you know, we need to get out of here. We can't keep sitting here, because the longer we sit here, if he has not noticed us already, he's going to notice us. And my friend at the time had a very distinct look. So if he happened to look our way, he would probably be like, I think I know her. And if she turned around, he would for sure know it was her. That would be confirmed. So we can't sit there. You know, we're just kind of like out in the open. Like we're just sort of a sitting duck. So we got to figure something out here. We had finished our meal. We were finishing our cocktails, and actually we were getting a second round of cocktails that the bartender was making while all this started to happen. So my friend had to use the restroom anyway. So I told her, listen, go to the restroom and wait there. Don't come back, because if you come back, you are going to be walking facing them, because the restroom was to the right-hand side. So if she went to the restroom and the guy happened to be looking, he'd be looking at her back. If she comes back, he's going to look at her face. And if they make eye contact, what the hell is she going to do? She's going to have to like sort of do something or do nothing. But either way, it's very uncomfortable, very awkward, and she just doesn't want to be in this position. She wants to be extracted from it immediately. So I tell her to go back to the restroom and wait back there. Don't come back up front. I'll come back to get her. When the bartender comes back with our drinks, after having a few sips of mine quickly, I explained to him what's going on. I told him that, you know, we have this situation. We got to be super low key. You know, we actually, as I recall, moved to the end of the bar so I could talk to him a little more discreetly, because I didn't want to be near these people when I'm explaining to this bartender, you know, why we need to leave. And I said, here's the situation. I explained everything. I said, I know we just got our drinks. I'd like to close out our tab. We'll pay for them. It's totally cool because he made them. But we need to know, is there another exit? We cannot go out the front door. What can we do? How can we get out of here? Do we have an emergency exit? So the bartender tells me, hang on a second, goes to the back, comes back to get me and says, you know, where's your friend? And I said, well, she's back here in the restroom. There was like a little hallway. She was back there. And he said, okay, come with me. He took us back through the hallway, grabbed my friend. He handed us off to another guy who was actually in a stairwell. And you know, if you've been in San Francisco, these buildings are old. And bars and restaurants are often in the bottom floor of what were houses, you know, so they have apartments above them and stuff. But they're old, so they have a lot of really cool nooks and crannies. You usually don't have to utilize them in this way, though. So we got handed off to, I mean, I'm going to assume was the bar back. And he took us down a set of stairs under the building where they stored all of their stuff, so their basement, essentially, all the way through, up another set of stairs to street level across the street. They got us out of there. And she was so relieved that they were first willing to help us. And what I think is so cool about this is when I went to talk to the bartender and explain what was going on, immediately he was like, yeah, I got you. No problem. Come with me. Simple. He understood, because this is a problem that regular everyday people who have had relationships understand. Sometimes you just need to use the emergency exit. And we did get out of the building. We were on the other side of the street, so we could walk in the opposite direction. We didn't even have to go in front of the windows of the bar because the guy was sitting in the window area. And he may not have seen us at that point, but we didn't even have to worry about it, thanks to the very quick thinking of both the bartender and the bar back. It is such a real thing to need to know where the emergency exits are. And at that point in my life, I had heard it for years on airplanes. I had subconsciously known in life how I want to get out of situations that might not be where I want to be. But to watch the actual, in real time, that importance of knowing where the emergency exit is play out was really amazing. And it really drove that point home for me. This was just a simple situation. She just didn't want to face him. Would it have been the end of the world if she would have? No, not really. Did she want to try to avoid it if she could? Sure. Did the people that we asked to help us, when I asked, is there another exit? Is there an emergency exit? And they knew why? Sure, no problem. Because like I said, most people understand what that feels like and have been there. So every time I would get on a flight after that and I would hear this thing about the emergency exit, yeah, you really do need to know where that is and to have an exit strategy, especially when it comes to dates. You're going to go on dates that are going to be crappy. You're going to be in relationships that are crappy. And it's really important to understand how to get out of them. Where I think people make the mistake is they don't think about an exit strategy if things are going well. And that's great. When things are going really well, nobody wants to think about it ending. We all just want to sit in those moments and enjoy it and love it and have fun. That isn't reality, though. What we need to remember is that sometimes being practical and being prepared is really the way to go. It doesn't mean that you're sabotaging your relationship. It doesn't mean that you're, you know, hoping it doesn't work out or you expect it to fail. It just means that you're smart, honestly. It's a really, really smart strategy to have. I've had to use it myself more than once. And as a general rule in life, after these experiences, I always have one. And it doesn't matter if it's I'm working for someone else, I have an exit strategy. I'm in a relationship, I've still got an exit strategy. I've got an exit strategy for the relationship I'm in right now. Do I think I'm going to need to use it? No, but it is a smart thing to have. And over time, I've learned again and again and again how important it is. And not just with little things like a simple date. I talk about in one of my earlier episodes, you can't hide height. Being on a date with someone who showed up and did not look like his photo and actually had lied about his stats online. So he shows up and I realize that he's been lying, which is why also I suggest never lie on your online dating profiles. It seems obvious, but people do it all the time and I really can't figure out why. But I even needed an exit strategy then, because after a few minutes and constantly just replaying in my head, you know, he lied. What else is he lying about if he's lying about something so obvious? I had an exit strategy. I never really had to use one before, to be honest, on a date. I mean, even my not so great first dates didn't really require an exit. They just sort of you know, ran their course quickly, and that was it. This one, I actually wanted to remove myself from the date. And short of some kind of, you know, extraction team, I'm on my own. I got to figure it out myself. And in this case, we were in a casino hotel. And fortunately for me, it happened to be one of the really large ones. So their restrooms are really large. And their restrooms generally have two exits. So my brilliant strategy to remove myself from this date, because I had just had enough, was to simply go into the restroom and go out the wrong, and I'm using air quotes, the wrong exit door. I get out there, I don't see my date, I figure maybe he wasn't enjoying himself, so he left, and I go to valet to get my car. Flawless, genius, simple, and reasonable, because that was not the first time I had gone out the wrong exit in one of those restrooms at that particular casino hotel and gotten separated from the people I was with just because I wasn't paying attention. Great excuse. Great way to do it without having to confront the situation if you're not ready to right then. Unfortunately for me, when I got into the restroom, I realized I had gone into one of the few in that area that only has one exit. So I was kind of stuck. And I did not have a backup exit plan because I really thought the double exit bathroom was a pretty good one. And if you look at it, yeah, it's a really good idea. My backup plan then became I walk out, I wait, you know, I watch for a crowd of people, I walk out with them, I act like I didn't see my date. Same strategy. Oh, he must have not been having fun either. I guess I have to go home. Just a simple misunderstanding. No big deal. Unfortunately for me, my date was really the perfect gentleman, even though he had lied about his information online. He had some manners, and he was waiting at a spot where I could not miss him when I came out of the restroom. And he was actually looking for me because he didn't want me to get lost. He didn't want me to get swept up in a group of people and not see him and think the date was over. So that exit strategy didn't work so great for me, but I still had one. I had to develop another one then after the fact to kind of end the date and let him know that I didn't want to see him again. That exit strategy was really important because I didn't want to go out with him again. Did it help me right then? No. My planning should have been a little bit better. And to this day, I still think of that as a viable exit strategy if it's something that's available to me. But it's the importance of having one because you never know what the circumstances are going to be. I certainly didn't show up on that date thinking that the guy who said he was 6'2 is really only going to be like 5'7 and I'm going to essentially be towering over him because I wore really high heels. So I didn't go into it thinking that. But I did definitely go into it feeling that I had options if the date really wasn't going the way I wanted it to go. That date was a simple thing. But I've also been in relationships where a really solid exit strategy has helped me. And that doesn't mean those decisions are easy to make. You know, I laugh about an exit strategy and it is a topic of dating disasters, but it's a very practical thing. And sometimes having to use it, there's nothing funny about it. The circumstances are bad and you need to deploy it. It's almost like an emergency parachute. It's something that can get you out of that situation right then safely and allow you to move on. And I actually had to deploy another exit strategy when I lived with a guy I was dating here. And I actually have a podcast episode about that relationship too. That whole thing was a shit show. Didn't start out that way, but once we moved in together, it became that really quickly. And it became such a mess that I had to spend a few weeks developing a really solid, seamless exit strategy. I've always had basic ones. That relationship taught me the importance of the details. Over the years, I had always known you need one, it's important, just have one in your back pocket. But sometimes the situation's a little difficult and you really do need to do a little bit more planning. In that case, I actually moved out of the house when that guy was out of town working. I remember dropping him off at the airport and saying goodbye to him and knowing that I was going to go back. I was going to finish packing up my stuff. Most of it, when I moved in, we didn't even unpack. I didn't really need anything but my own personal items because he had his house. So we weren't using my furniture, my dishes, that kind of stuff. We left it packed, which helped me tremendously. He was so great, he even repacked it and labeled it because he really didn't think I did it right. So that was kind of what I was dealing with. Helpful for sure. Made the move out a lot easier. But I had to go home and get my stuff together, go the next morning, pick up the U-Haul truck. My cousin and an ex-boyfriend of mine that I am still to this day very good friends with showed up, carried the furniture out, carried all the heavy stuff. I had pets, I got them out, and it was like an extraction team. I, in that case, had one, but I had the exit plan. And I knew what the emergency exit was. I had pulled the lever. I was going. It wasn't what I imagined it would be. It was actually a situation that was totally the opposite. Had I been able to see it coming, I wouldn't have moved in the first place. And you know what that brings me to? That brings me to when the flight attendants show you the lighted pathway. The lighted pathway that leads you to your emergency exits. So you have to follow that. There are sometimes clues in a relationship that are lighting your way to the exit. They're kind of letting you know this is the direction you're going to go. So get ready. Sometimes you're part of the problem. Sometimes you aren't. Sometimes it's both people. Sometimes it is legitimately one of the two people in a relationship causing the problem, causing the need for the exit. And sometimes it is impossible to find common ground. In my case, with that particular relationship, I never could have talked to him about this. I never could have said, hey, listen, here's what's going on. I don't like it. This isn't what I'm looking for. I gotta go. He had already created an environment where there was not much stability. There was, you know, we had tried to work things out before that because things went south pretty quickly. And it was just always this level of uncertainty. And I really did not want in my life to feel that way. I wanted to feel safe and calm and stable and peaceful. And I had pets to think about as well. Which, if you are somebody in a relationship with pets and they are your pets, not the other person, sometimes that can get weird. Sometimes that other person doesn't want to treat your pets the way you know they should be treated. And that can be problematic. I had a lot of concerns about the situation as it was when we were living together. That was the beginning of the pathway being lighted up for me. So I would know I got to get this together. And it really did not take me that long. It wasn't like it was some kind of, you know, SEAL Team 6 plan. Like, it's not that complicated. But it was important to have one. It was important to know, okay, you know what? This is what I need to get ready. This is what I need to do. This is how it has to go. So many people, I feel like, stay in situations that are not right for them. Some of them are just not right. You're just not happy. You just don't like it. Some of them are downright dangerous. Having an exit strategy and knowing where the emergency exits are and how to get to them, that's critical. That is so important. And as you're listening to this, you might be thinking about situations in your own life. I mean, this stuff applies even not just with relationships, with like a romantic partner, but in friendships, in the workforce, in families. You know, it applies across the board to every situation. And you really have to have a good idea about how to implement an exit strategy. You got to start preparing now, because the worst thing is to be sitting in the bar, talking, turning around and seeing someone you want to see and not knowing what the hell to do, panicking, just knowing you need to get out of there and not knowing how to do it. You may be in that situation right now. I mean, it's a really crappy feeling. It's very destabilizing and stomach churning sometimes. But having an exit strategy, having the basics of knowing where the emergency exits are, can really change everything. It's a practical, smart thing to do. And it makes you less likely to stay in an uncomfortable situation. I mean, you can have an exit strategy for everything, from running into just a friend you don't really want to hang out with or talk to when you're out socially. And you don't want to be rude, you want to be polite, but you want to get the heck out of there. Or running into an ex when you're out. Or being in a relationship that you want to get out of for whatever reason. Or even having a professional situation that just isn't working for you. Having that exit strategy really helps you. As a matter of fact, that guy that I moved out of his house when he was working out of state, I ran into him a few months later, literally, at Target. I had been out during the day. I had an alumni function that I had gone to. I was on my way home and I was stopping to just pick up one or two items really quickly. It was fortunate for me that I was pretty dressed up because I had been at the alumni function. Sometimes when I go to Target, I'm in my tracksuit. So I was not that day. And I was just kind of grabbing my items in my own little world, not thinking about anything. And I stopped at this particular Target because it was on my way home. It wasn't the one that I normally go to. It happened to be smack dab in the middle of a part of town that I used to call the Red Zone, because I had dated so many people who lived in that one geographic area, which was kind of weird. I mean, it was kind of funny, kind of weird. This guy I also lived with, he also lived in that area too. So for a long time, I avoided that area. I still don't have occasion really to go over there that often now. It's not near where I live, so I don't ever bother unless I need something special that only that store has. But this particular day, I was on my way back home, and I just thought, you know, I'm in a hurry. I'm not going to see anyone. Who cares? You know, I live here. I can go into Target. And I went in, and I was getting my items, and I was in a hurry because I just wanted to get going. And I came around the aisle, and I was in health and beauty. So I was getting like saline solution or cotton ball, stuff like that. And I, before I'm going to check out, I'm like, oh yeah, I need shower gel. So I turn on the shower gel aisle, and I'm going pretty quickly because I'm in a hurry. So I've got a lot of momentum behind me. I'm in really high heels because I'm dressed up from my function earlier in the day. And as I take the corner, I look up, and who do I see on that aisle walking toward me but the guy that I moved out of his house? Now, remember, I did that, and well, don't remember because I didn't tell you, but I did that and I didn't tell him. When I had moved out, after I moved out, I sent him a text message. I sent my set of keys back in the mail. And I had not actually spoken to him since that. I had not seen him, not spoken to him. It was a closed case as far as I was concerned. Not a relationship I wanted, didn't appreciate his behavior. That was it. We were never going to be on good terms. Kaput. Fine. So now this is a few months later. So as I'm going to get the shower gel and see him, my brain instantly is like, what the fuck? What do I do? Because I need to get the shower gel. Okay, I'm not going home without it. I'm on this aisle. I've got all this momentum and he's walking toward me looking down at his, he had a BlackBerry from, I don't know if it was a work BlackBerry or what it was. I don't remember, but he's texting. So he's not looking. He hasn't seen me yet. And in literally a split second, I have had this whole conversation with myself. What do I do? Should I just turn around? What do I do? Do I say, what do I do? What the fuck do I do? So I decide, no, I'm getting my stuff. Screw him. I don't care. I have things to get. I'm shopping. That's it. I cannot worry about that. And plus, to be honest, I had so much momentum that for me to stop and turn around, I would have come to a literal skidding halt, probably would have wiped out. That would have been much more uncomfortable because then I would have had to communicate with him or make eye contact or something. And I didn't even want to see him at all. So I was kind of shocked, confused, like, what do I do? All the emotions of the relationship came up. A lot going on in that literal half a second that I had to make this decision. So I just decided I'm going to get the shower gel. I'm going to grab it. It's fine. I go to my shower gel. I grab it. As I turn back around to go continue down the aisle, because he was not paying attention and was looking down, texting, he walked right into me, like right into the front part of my shoulder. Now, okay, so what do I do here? You know, and even as I tell it, I can feel the emotions come back up. It's, you know, because it happened a little while ago, but it still, I remember it because it was a pretty significant situation for me. The whole thing was, I just kept going. I still had my momentum behind me. I did not even stop when I grabbed the shower gel. I was still kind of going, just kind of walking by, turned a little bit to the shelf to grab it. As I turned back, that's when he ran into me. I just kept right on going. Went out the other end of the aisle, turned to my right, not my left, which would have been the cash registers, which might have been a better idea, and went to the saline solution area where I could crouch down and pretend I was looking at saline to catch my breath and gather my thoughts. That was my exit strategy. Just get the hell out of there and get somewhere that looks like you would be anyway. So if he came back around, if he wanted to see if it was me, if he wanted to say something, whatever the case was, I didn't look like I was losing my shit. Internally, I completely was. I needed to catch my breath. I needed to kind of recenter for a minute. I did not expect him to see him. And I didn't want to see him. Like, I mean, yeah, not expecting somebody is one thing, but legitimately not wanting to see someone. And then that happens. And I thought, you know, did he look up? Did he know it was me? I don't know. Whatever. I was not in my normal uniform of, like I said, my tracksuit. So maybe he didn't know it was me. Who knows? To this day, I still don't know. I just know that I had to make an important decision and make an exit from there. I couldn't just stand in the aisle and be like, what do I do? I had to think quickly on my feet. And to me, saline solution, I'm going to buy that anyway. That's a normal thing. I can crouch down, catch my breath. It looks normal. It doesn't look like I'm losing my shit while I'm standing in a Target aisle of, like, I don't know, toothbrushes or something that I'm not buying right now. I gathered myself. I went to the register because I got to check out. And as I'm standing in line at the register, my cell phone starts going off, my text messages. And I didn't want to look. All I kept thinking was, just breathe, stay calm. I was certain it was him, that he had realized it was me that he had run into, and that he was just going to start with the text messages again, because that was kind of his game. He had a really interesting manipulation tactic, and that would be him. Text, 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 text. You know, to make it stop, I would have to turn off my phone or block his number. At that time, I had a whole different phone. I had the same phone number because I used it for business as well. But just standing in that line with my phone vibrating, 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 all I wanted to do was pay for my shit and get out of there. Also, part of my exit strategy, I didn't just drop my items and run out and cause a scene. I tried to be as calm and cool as I possibly could be, but I knew where the exit was, and I knew I'm getting my stuff, putting it in my bag, and out I go. I'm not looking at anyone. I'm just trying to look normal so I look completely unaffected by this. I get to my car. I drive to the other side of the parking lot, completely away from the store, and I stop and I'm literally shaking because now I'm thinking I've got to look at these text messages. I've made it safely out of the aisle. I've made it safely out of the store without having to actually interact with him. Now I got to look at the text messages. And as I started to look at them, it was only my mom. She was texting me. I had asked her something earlier in the day. She had sent me 4 or 5 texts in a row about what we had been talking about earlier. So to me, it was a complete crisis averted. But as I sat in the car taking a nice exhale, I was like, yeah, I had a good idea. I had an idea to keep going, get to a place that looks normal so I can regroup. And that was the saline solution. Little, they had a display. It wasn't even an aisle at that store, and it was a bottom shelf. Fantastic. Just what I needed. But I had to have some kind of strategy, or I'm going to be standing there like, duh. And then he's going to look up and there I stand. And I didn't want to see him. I didn't want to interact with him. But I also wanted to get my stuff. I didn't want to alter what I was doing because his ass was in the aisle. And really, what are the chances of that? You know, I live in Las Vegas and it's a fairly big city. And, you know, I don't often run into people at Target that I don't want to see. What were the chances? And I was partially prepared because I had already learned the importance of knowing where my emergency exits are. That was my emergency exit, the saline aisle. I mean, sometimes it is like that. That's just it. And that's okay. So your emergency exit doesn't have to be some elaborate scheme. When I moved out from his house, it was an elaborate scheme. But that you need a practical, everyday exit strategy to get yourself out of situations you just don't want to be in. That also taught me a whole lot about red flags and kind of taking time to get to know someone before you move forward with them, but mostly the red flags. And I talk a lot about red flags in my program to help people with online dating. I actually met that guy online and I had a whole search strategy, handled it exactly as I felt I should handle it. And just in the process of living with him and getting to know him, I realized that he is not at all the person who he said he was. And if you want to learn more about him, if you're interested in that, he is in the an earlier podcast that I did, Mama's Boy. And there's a, you'll learn a lot about him, but you'll also learn a lot about red flags and what to look for and how to really think about your dating relationships. That's why I developed the online dating results method. I did it because I wanted to really help people get the most out of their online dating memberships, to give people the best opportunity to meet the kind of people they want to be going out with, but also to teach them how to really pay attention to red flags. There were plenty in this relationship that I ignored for one reason or another. I think most people have a tendency to do that. In my online dating results method program, I teach you how to not overlook them and kind of drive the point home about why it's important to pay attention to them. You can find that program at amyhelt.com. I actually just reworked it, so it is a brand new release. It is really my most important information for online dating. If you are out there online dating and struggling, especially with the pandemic, because that has changed so much. Online dating right now, as we are still in July, so it's about a year and a half of this pandemic going on. If you are online dating, it is a great opportunity to meet people. It is really a smart way to go because you want to consider that you want the best return on your investment. You know, dating is an investment. It is an investment of your time, your presence, your energy. And you want to go on dates with people who have the best opportunity of turning out to be a good fit for you. I teach people the strategies that I used to help me with that. Now, that doesn't mean that every person you meet is going to be your Prince Charming. Of course not. Most of the people aren't. But we still want to get into the general area of what you're looking for and people who could be a really good fit for you. So you can head on over to amyhelt.com and you can also get my 7 best tips for online dating. It's a free download. You can just head over to my website and get that now. And then you'll get more information on the online dating results program. But if you have one takeaway from this episode, I mean, I hope it was kind of a laugh because the topic is a little bit funny, but I hope you also understand the practicality of really understanding where your emergency exits are. The plan doesn't have to be a big, elaborate one, but you at least need to know where the exits are and have an idea of how to get to them should you ever need them. Maybe you won't, but maybe you will. You just don't know. So it's always smart to pay attention. And to remember also, just like they say on our flights, to remember that the nearest exit may be behind you. And you are always going to have lights that light up your way so you can see your way to the exit. Those are the takeaways that I hope you picked up today from this episode of the Dating Disasters podcast. Until next time, head over to amyhelt.com, get those 7 best tips, and really get the most out of your online dating memberships. And I will see you again soon. And remember, dating isn't always great, but that's why we have the Dating Disasters podcast.